All right, today is April 20th, year 2008. It's the fourth Sunday after Easter. We're going to continue on with the giving you examples from the Holy Scriptures about just wars conducted by God's chosen people. And we're going to be quoting from the book of Maccabees. And if you read, start at the book of Maccabees, that is identical to these final days. It is, if not identical. It's just another incident in which Antiochus, the evil king, Greek king, took over almost the whole world, and he forced everybody to worship him as if he was God, and they had to get rid of all the religions and only worship him. And at that time, just to pave the road for what we're going to be reading here, almost every Jew went over to the false worship and the idols of Antiochus. The whole hierarchy, all the high priests and all the hierarchic order, the Pope would have been in that day apostatized and went over to worship the idols. In the Scriptures it says there's really only one family faithful, Mattathias and his family. One of his sons was Judas Maccabees. That's where the name of this book comes from one of the five or six sons that were very valiant. Anyway, it was just 10 of them, they say, if you're reading that really remained faithful. All the rest of the Jews were apostatized, or they were sitting on a fence, which is, not taking either side, and that's the same as apostasy. So there's only about 10 people at the height of that apostasy that remained faithful. Mattathias and his 10. But we're going to be reading from he had no legitimate church authorities to go to get authorization to fight against the Antichrist of that day, which was Antiochus Epiphanes. So what does he do? Does he sit back and go along and let them come in and rape their souls and pillage and plunder their souls so they themselves are, for instance, if Antiochus came in to try to steal his children away and bring them in to worship in idols and stuff, what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to say, I don't have a legitimate church authority to tell me I can conduct a just war against Antiochus Epiphanes? Well, that's where us Catholics are today, and it's going to get worse even. It's going to get to that point when Antichrist comes to power where he is going to demand that everybody worships him, takes the mark of the beast. And if you don't, you're not going to buy, you're not going to eat, you're not going to sell, and he's going to try to kill you. At that point, I always mention to the brothers, that's all out war. We're going to just reclaim land for the Holy Roman Empire, and if it happens in the United States, he's probably going to even take over the United States at that point. It's not even going to exist anymore. It's going to be part of that global block that they're already preparing us for. But the point I want to make in here is a Catholic's duty to physically kill people when his duty is to go out and kill in just wars, just battles, and even kill individuals who are warring against us, individual enemies. I already went over the parameters on that last week. And one parameter that I forgot to add last week, which I want to add, just briefly to remind you what we went over last week. These are the instances when Catholics must go to war. First of all, when God tells you to go to war directly, or an angel from heaven, or a blessed mother, or a saint comes down, speaking as a messenger from God, and tells you to go to do combat, you go to war no matter what. You don't even blink. You don't ask questions. You don't worry about whether you have the numbers or the power, or you can humanly beat them. You don't even think about that. If God tells you to go to war, you go to war. And if he promises you the victory, you're going to get the victory. Okay, that's a give me. Now, when God comes down and also does this, now this is what I forgot to mention last week. If God hasn't done that, then you have to go by God's natural law that he puts upon your heart, and also his supernatural laws that he tells us through his church. When Catholics have to stand up and defend themselves or fight against their enemies to preserve the faith and promulgate the faith and to help save their souls. Those laws are written during the Old Covenant era. The Jews are the ones that had those laws, and now during the New Covenant era, only the Catholic Church has those laws. And she tells you when Catholics can go out and kill, and you don't even need to have a direct inspiration or a messenger from heaven coming and telling you that, hey, you got to do this. You know it automatically. These are things I brought up last week. But there's another instance also that happens is if you're using your human prudence and there is a just reason to go to war and you really calculated everything out and you can win the war, then you should go to war. Except if God sends a messenger from heaven and tells you, don't war against these people at this moment or for the, he doesn't have to give you a reason. But if God tells you don't do it, then you don't do it. Even if human prudence dictates that you war against these people, or human prudence dictates that you can win and it's your duty through his supernatural revelation, and God comes down and speaks to you and tells you, no, don't go out there and fight against these people, and then you don't do it. God did that with Joshua when he was going to go out and fight against a certain group of Philistines who were still idolaters. They were bad, but they weren't as bad as the other Philistines. He doesn't know that, how bad they are in the eyes of God. And God didn't even give him the... Well, God did say the reason in this case. And Joshua was going to go to war against them. Human prudence, Joshua can easily beat them because he's beating everybody. But God comes and tells Joshua, I don't want you to fight these Philistines because they're not as bad as the other Philistines. I want to save them for a chance to save their souls. So don't fight against these Philistines. And God told him the reason why. He doesn't have to. So then Joshua backed off and didn't fight again. And that's one of the reasons I didn't mention last week when Catholics cannot go to war, even if you have a just cause, if God tells you don't do it. Because God has his reasons. He knows what's in the future for these people and what he has planned for them. So using human prudence, you will go to war if it's a just war and everything fits and you can win the war. Except if God comes and tells you not to do that. We're not talking about just wars. We're talking about battles and individual fights against individual enemies. When you have to resist them, punish them, or even kill them. Resist them to the point of killing them even. Now, you're going to read what happened here in these days. I recommend anybody to read the book of Maccabees, first and second book of Maccabees. That is what we're going to be, you're going to look at the future here of us, Mary's little remnant, and what the world is in for. The Antichrist, I believe, is already alive physically in the world. Even if he isn't alive, let's say like 100 years ago, so when he wasn't alive, his spirit is in the world. Coming to power through the apostate Jews as the number one minions that are bringing him to power. And he's always working with the top Jew in the world. There's one Jew in the world who's the big dog, and he's the one that the Antichrist, that Satan's always been working through to bring Antichrist to power. I believe Antichrist is alive in the world today, and it's going to be pretty soon when he reveals himself, like you see here, and as St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:2-3, he sits in the temple of God showing himself as if he were God. Although he doesn't say he is God, but he's the biggest God on earth. He also worships a God, it says, Antichrist, and his God is the devil, Satan. You read about that in the book of the Apocalypse, I think 16, chapter 2-3, there's three evil characters, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The dragon is Satan, the beast is the Antichrist, the false prophet is a fallen away, as we know, apostate antipope of the Vatican II Church, who's going to tell everybody, point everybody towards this Antichrist to give allegiance to him. John Paul II and the Vatican II Church has already done a good job, if you want to say it that way, an evil job, really, for the Antichrist by paving the road for acceptance of the apostate Jews and apostate Talmudic Judaism and the State of Israel. They're paving the road for that acceptance. All right, now, we're going to read what the heroic Mattathias did in his family of just 10 to start out this counterattack against the Antichrist, because he was the only faithful. In the scriptures, it says only him was the only one faithful left. And he didn't sit down and take it sitting. He got so angry at what he was looking at, he just went out and started killing people. All right? And the first person he went out, and the first person he went out to kill were the apostate Jews who fell away. The high priest and the priesthood that went over to the idols of the Antiochus Epiphanius. He was most angry at them. But he also fought against Antiochus Epiphanius. You know, now, okay, so all these wimpy cowards that are out there, they think they're going to sit back and the Blessed Mother is going to do it all for them. The Blessed Mother doesn't like cowards, guys. I'd hate to tell you that. She despises you if you're a coward. She spits on you. Yes, she does. She still loves you, but she spits on you in your current condition. And if you knew the real Blessed Mother, she'll bop you over the head, not that phony one who gives you false consolations in your passivism, where you sit at home and say, the Blessed Mother's going to do everything. I can sit in my room and hide here to the end of the world until I die and do nothing. I don't got to say nothing. I don't got to condemn nothing. I don't got to denounce anybody. I don't got to do the spiritual corporate works of mercy. I don't got to try to convert anybody. The Blessed Mother's going to do it all. You deserve what you get. You pacifist. That's against the natural law even. What a big deception. Now we're going to start reading from 1 Maccabees chapter 2. In those days arose Mattathias, the son of John, the son of Simeon, a priest of the sons of Jorib and Jerusalem, and he abode in the mountain of Modin. He was of the Levitical priesthood, so he was a priest. So at least here you can say he had some priests. But all the high priests and the leaders apostatized. So he's just a priest without... This also refutes your jurisdictional Pharisees. We say, for instance, I always say, if you have a priest convert, if we had a Catholic priest in the world today, he can function as a Catholic priest. He doesn't need to have a bishop with ordinary jurisdiction, or we don't need to have a pope. Epikaya allows him to do that, which is called exceptions to the law. And if you don't believe that, you've got to be a brutal, illogical, you don't even have common sense to think that God wouldn't allow a Catholic priest to function in these days for want of a Catholic bishop or a pope. Indeed, they could. Now, this is what Mattathias is doing. He's functioning and taking command here and conducting just wars because on his own initiative, because there is no hierarchy anymore. They all apostatized and went over to Antiochus. And it says, and he had 5 sons, John, who was surnamed Gaddis, and Simon, who was surnamed Phasi, and Judas, who was called Maccabeus. And Eleazar, who was surnamed Abiram, and Jonathan, who was surnamed Apphus. These saw the evils that were done in the people of Judah and in Jerusalem. And Mattathias said, Woe is me! Wherefore was I born to see the ruin of my people and the ruin of the holy city, and to dwell there when it is given into the hands of the enemies? Is that, we're already saying that about Rome and Vatican City. It's been given into the hands of the enemies in a big way since the apostate Second Vatican Council. They were already infiltrating hundreds of years before that. But they totally took it over during the apostate Vatican Council. That was the total takeover. Are we not saying that, seeing that already? Woe is me that I had to live to see these days. But now that I'm here, we're going to do what we got to do. The holy places are come into the hands of strangers. Her temple has become as a man without honor. Every false religion goes down there and gets honored in Vatican City. Every false god gets honored and respected, goes down there and gets greeted by the apostate antipopes. And he praises their false religions and tells us we have to respect them. And it's not just Vatican City. It's being done in all their church, the Vatican II churches. All of them. It's being done all over. They're all dishonored. And even these other traditional chapels are defiled too, because they hold one or more heresies. And so you can't see, it doesn't seem as obvious to people that those churches are as bad as the Vatican II churches, like the SSP 10 churches, but they are, because they hold one or more heresies. They definitely believe a Talmudic Jew who hates Christ could be saved if he dies that way. That's an abomination. Okay, so don't fool yourself. Those churches, to me, are even worse than the Vatican II churches. The Vatican II churches are obvious because you can see it right out, you know? So here he's looking at this total apostasy of his own people. And he's going, the vessels of her glory are carried away captive. Her old men are murdered in the streets, and her young men are fallen by the sword of the enemies. Anybody who ever did try to rise up was killed. Anybody who did resist him was already killed. So we would say that Mattanias was in his ten, were the only ones that are still alive of the faithful. Some of them were faithful and died as martyrs. And some of them who died were not martyrs. They were just being punished by God. God used the enemy to kill them. What nation hath not inherited her kingdom and gotten of her spoils? God let everybody come in and take her over. All her ornaments are taken away. She that was free is made a slave. And behold, our sanctuary and our beauty and our glory is laid waste, and the Gentiles have defiled them. Just go into any one of these Vatican II churches, and they got all kinds of pagans, apostates, Protestants, schismatics, Jews attending their services. They got women running all over the altars. They desecrated the total sanctuary. It looks like a Protestant church, if not a Masonic lodge. Just take a look at it. Come on. Are you kidding me? Clown masses and whatever else buffoonery is going on in there. I tell you, anybody who's still in that Vatican II church these days has got to be the worst. I know the traditionals are bad too, but these guys are of another caliber too. This is beyond comprehension. We're looking at this. And, but look at the SSP 10 though. What do? They say that that church is the Catholic Church. Are they not? Okay, they may not have clown masses and all that, but they recognize the apostate antipopes and they say they're true popes. They look at their churches and say they're true Catholic churches. After what we're talking about here, I'll cut their heads off first for the stupidity. That's beyond comprehension. That you can call anything like that Catholic. And it says, to what end then should we live any longer? Mattathias is saying, please, Lord, I don't even want to live through this. And Mattathias and his sons rent their garments, and they covered themselves with haircloth and made great lamentation. And here these other people are celebrating like we have a new day, a new so-called Pentecost, which is really the devil himself inspiring all these false religions to come together and try to create their own paradise without the true God. And it says, and they that were sent from King Antiochus, he was a great prefigurement of the Antichrist, came thither to compel them that were fled into the city of Modin to sacrifice and to burn incense and to depart from the law of God. And many of the people of Israel consented and came to them, but Mattathias and his sons stood firm. And they that were sent from Antiochus answering said to Mattathias, thou art a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and adorned with sons and brethren. Therefore, come thou first and obey the king's commandment, as all nations have done, and the men of Judah, and they that remain in Jerusalem. And thou and thy son shall be in the number of the king's friends, and enriched with gold and silver, many presents. He said, all your other brothers did it, all Judah did it, all Israel did it, all the other nations did it. What's wrong with you? Why are you holding back? Come on over and be our friends. And we're going to give you gold and silver. What could gold and silver do to buy us eternal salvation? What can gold and silver do? Can it buy you eternal life? Can it buy you the favor of God? That you would sell out your soul for the sake of anything on this earth. It's beautiful when you read about Eleazar in here, when he got martyred even. He said, God, you can kill my flesh. It don't mean anything. But you're not going to take my soul. I'm not going to apostatize. You can offer me all the gold in the world. That don't mean nothing to me. And so here he is, Matthias, standing up. Then Matthias answered and said with a loud voice, for all you people don't like that I speak loud. That's too bad. Tough. You know, this is, I told the brother Will this weekend, the separation of the wheat from the chaff. He gave one of my sermons to a guy we're trying to convert in town here. And what time was he? Was he Catholic at one time? Or no, what is he, a Protestant?
When he was real, real young, he did go to Catholic school. Then he was Mormon for a while. He was Mormon when he got married. His wife made
him. Anyway, he's all messed up.
Yeah.
So we gave him one of my, what'd you give him? Hell? My hell tip.
Hell video.
And I'm judging the dead.
Right.
And then he came back and he said to Brother Lewis, he's too radical.
Too extreme. No, sounds like a Southern Baptist.
Sounds like a Southern Baptist. Too extreme, you see? Because we speak out the way we're supposed to speak out. That shows you how pacifism has affected the whole world. That when a Catholic really speaks out the way he's supposed to speak out, as his natural duty as being a Catholic, that's what happens. Well, fine. Okay. That's a separation of the wheat from the chaff. Bye. I don't need you. Now, if you gave in to these people and started to talk like they did, you'd be an apostate. You'd not be able to denounce people correctly. You would deny the faith by sins of omission. You would not be able to go out there and show the people just how righteously angry God is with the world. So you have two kinds of people out there. The people I grew up with in Newark, New Jersey are not like that. They don't mind radical speaking. They might not like what I'm saying. They'll disagree with what I'm saying because they're committing sins. But they don't disagree with the method. The radicality, as these people call it. You know, at least they respect you for being convicted in what you believe in. But all these cowards, God showed me that, are the worst. So that rules this guy out. Sorry, pal, when you get some guts, come back to us. When you get some guts, come back to us. Okay? When you get some courage. Right now you're a wimp. And you can never worship the true God in the condition that you're in. All right? So, here he goes. Then Matthias answered and said with a loud voice, although all nations obeyed King Antiochus so as to depart every man from the service of the law of his fathers and consent to his commandments, I and my sons and my brethren will obey the law of our fathers. God be merciful unto us. It is not profitable for us to forsake the law and justices of God. I will keep the true Catholic faith, and I will be a good Catholic, and I will act like Catholics are supposed to act. I will not forsake the laws of the Catholic Church for this modern, effeminate, pacifist, idolatrous world full of hypocrisy in which they pretend you can worship all these different gods and it's okay with the one true God. It's not even logical. All right, now he's spitting in the face of this great king who conquered every nation and all his people. And he's, now, mind you, there's only 10 of them there, him and his family. If you read that in the beginning, it says that. We will not hearken to the words of King Antiochus, neither will we sacrifice and transgress the commandments of our law to go another way. Now as he left off speaking these words, there came a certain Jew in the sight of all to sacrifice to the idols upon the altar in the city of Modin, according to the king's commandment, an apostate priest, offering up after he gave his allegiance to Antiochus. And Mattathias saw and was grieved, and his reins trembled. And his wrath was kindled according to the judgment of the law. And running upon him, he slew him upon the altar. Moreover, now there you go. Okay? That, anybody going to question that? That is a just killing in the eyes of Almighty God. He was filled with righteous indignation and anger and said, you apostate bastard, how dare you call yourself a Jew? Who went over to the worship of the idols and is now leading their services and drawing people away after them. He just, boom, bursted out after him and killed them. All right? All you wimps out there. Would you be willing to do that? I tell you something. And I tell people this. If you really love God, it's not even a question. It's a natural thing inside of you that when you see this, it makes you so righteously angry and so upset and so sad and so furious against these apostates that you want to kill them. If the worst ones, so you can liberate the other ones that are under their clutches. But here we are. He didn't go to the Pope of the day because there was no Pope. He apostatized. He didn't go to any religious rulers because they were all gone. They went over to the worship of Antiochus. He didn't go to Antiochus to ask permission to kill his own man, who he was putting up at the altar. He just rose up and took the sword and sliced and diced him. All right? Okay? All right, so we are separating the wheat from the chaff. Here we are. I mean, and here he is doing this, and the fact that he knows he's going against this king who controls the whole world. It says, moreover, the man whom King Antiochus had sent, who compelled them to sacrifice, he slew at the same time and pulled down the altar and slew the king's right messenger that came in to compel him to do the worship. He killed both the priest and the king's messenger that came in here, or the king's policeman, really, who came in here to compel him to worship to the false gods. He killed both of them. And then he busted up the altar. So much for those people say, Richard, you're going to go there and break the windows of Carnegie Hall if you had enough people out there to do that. Oh, you can't. How dare you create such a desecration against the holy Carnegie Hall? That's a sacred place. And what did they do in Carnegie Hall? Did you read? You listen to my sermon, what they did in there. I'll tell you something, you people, you better get away from me. Because when you start thinking like that, you don't love God. I will tell you 1 billion times to infinity that you don't love God when you start thinking like that. That you don't get righteously angry when our Lord God and our Blessed Mother Mary and the saints in heaven and the angels are blasphemed. I'm sorry you don't love them. You're full of the Americanist spirit of democracy, of pacifism, of effeminacy, and of liberalism. Now you look what this man's doing here, right? According to these people, all he had to get some type of a sanction for this, right? And here, God didn't even speak to him directly. He was just filled up with such righteous indignation against what he saw. He just burst it out. That's why I say the Lord's keeping me in the desert here. Because if he doesn't keep me in the desert, Lord knows what I would do if I was around these people. The same thing. I told them, I said, Lord, they're not listening anymore to words. Like, no more words, you know? You know, if I'm in front of these people, I'm going to start lopping heads off, man. I'm going to start punching faces out. And I'll be in jail before my time. It's not time for that to happen. But that's what would happen. Because when I see something like that, this is not open for discussion. So I'm staying here and waiting whenever God wants, and serving God here and purifying our camp. But I tell you, you better not come in our camp with any filth of any sort.
Getting your knife sharpened.
Yeah. We're just sharpening our knives. As I told all the brothers anyway, they say we're sharpening one another's swords here. We really are. These people don't realize that we got the true God behind us. All you people in the world are nothing compared to our army. I mean absolutely zilch, nothing. And it says, and he showed zeal for the law as Phinehas did by Zimri, the son of Salome. And what did Phinehas do? He rose up and killed the Jew that was fornicating with the Philistine woman who was bringing idols into the camp. He killed both of them. They were in the tent fornicating. He pulled them right out of the tent and sliced them up. He didn't even go to Moses for permission or Aaron. And right after he did that, Moses and Aaron blessed them, said, praise God, this is a great... And they made him, the high priesthood goes through his line because of that. That's how great God blessed him. And Mathenias cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, everyone that has zeal for the law and maintaineth the testament, let him follow me. Anybody who wants to be a true Catholic, who is a true Catholic, or wants to be a true Catholic, wants to be a good Catholic, follow me. And that's what we're saying right now even. God is preparing this little remnant here to conduct His battle. And right now, God's going to start sending people in here one at a time, the cream of the crop right now. So later on, when these miracles go before us in His power, we're going to start getting a bulk of people in here. We're going to have a group of solid Catholics that are going to be representing to the world the Catholic God and teaching people how to be good Catholics so that they can save their immortal souls and give glory to the one true God. That's what's happening right now, folks. And we're not going out of our way to reach out after you. I got enough stuff. If anybody wants to find me, by God's grace and power, they can find me. Okay? And it's not time for any of those things yet. Till I finish, as I tell people many times, my website is not yet completed. I just work and do what God gives me. And it gets done when it gets done. I do it diligently, and I do it right, and I do it correctly. We're not on a time clock, I tell the brothers here. The rest of the world's on a time clock. God will stop the sun. He'll stop the world. He'll give us another year. He says, Rich, okay, I know you got backed up because the devil just put some obstacles in front of you for about 3 months. I'm going to add another 3 months on to the before the world ends. God doesn't even have to work that. Well, he could. But he does do that. We're on God's clock. We're not on the time. That means we're not on a time clock. God controls everything. Think about how these people out there, they don't have the true God. They're all on a time clock. Like a ticking time bomb, you know. And what's sad, they're not even in the church. As soon as they die, they're going to hell. All right, so he says, what is Mathenias saying? And this is what I say. This is my brother, Mathenias, my faithful Catholic brother who's in heaven right now. What is he saying? And Mathenias cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, everyone hath a zeal for the law, the Catholic faith, and maintaineth the Testament, the New Testament, let him follow me. So he and his sons fled into the mountains and left all they had in the city. They left all the big cities and went into the mountains and the deserts. Up in the mountains because they can hide out easier up there. Then many that sought after judgment and justice went down into the desert. That's even goodwill. People who are not yet Catholics are going to be coming here and following us. They're going to be listening to us. They're going to be learning from us. And they're going to convert. At first, they're not going to. But they're going to say, you know, I like a lot what these guys are doing. They may be right. I'm not positive, but I like what they're preaching. I like the way they're living. These are goodwill people our Lord speaks about. His other sheep that are of His fold that are not yet in the flock that need to be called and evangelized. They're going to look at us. I say it. Goodwill people. I know where I grew up. No city kid's going to put up with a wimp. I'm sorry. He's not going to do it. You're a coward. They have all their sins. I'm not making excuses for the sinfulness of city kids because I was one of them. I know how bad they are. I was bad the same way. But I know one thing they're not. They're not cowards. And when these people finally had their fill of sins like I did, in the city, you start looking for a strong hand to deliver you, not a wimp. Because you know what sin is. You don't have any illusions about the evilness of men when you grow up in the city. You know, you're not living this pansy fantasy world of plastic suburbanite America where these people think everything is peachy keen, you know. Walking around. These are the most evil people of all. But I'm telling you, God says we're going to have people of judgment and justice following us, looking at us. They're already doing it now by looking at the website and reading what I have up there. Agreeing with a lot of it, but not all of it yet. But when God manifests His power, they will. And that's why I'm preaching. We're here first to give glory to the one true God, save our souls, and help save the souls of everybody in the world today. I don't care how bad you are right now who's listening to me. I don't care what you sinned or how bad your sins are. God has, as long as you're alive, there's mercy for you and you can save your soul. And I'm trying to tell you, these few sermons, these last couple of weeks, are directed against cowards and wimps, pacifists and effeminate people who don't think that you can kill for the true God. And I will tell you, a true militant Catholic, if you want to save your, and this means all Catholics, if you want to, men, women, you want to save your souls, you've got to be willing to not only die for Christ as a martyr, but even kill for Christ, if you have to. If you have to. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you have to. And it says, then many that sought after judgment and justice went down into the desert, and they abode there, they and their children and their wives and their cattle, because afflictions increased upon them. They all gathered together and defended themselves in the mountains and served God. And it was told to the king's men and to the army that was in Jerusalem, the city of David, that certain men who had broken the king's commandment were gone away into the secret places in the wildernesses, and that many were gone after them. So now he's getting nervous, Antiochus. Uh-oh. I always told the brothers this too. I know how this works. Anytime the Jews see that you start to get 15% of the people's attention, 15%, they get nervous. Jews don't like that. Populist party, I don't care what it is, Nazi party or anything that opposes the Jew, Muslims, you know, anything that's opposing their cause, anytime, you know, let alone you have 50% true Catholics. I don't think we're ever going to have that many in the world, so forget that. I think the most we're ever going to get in the conversions of the whole world combined is about 10% of the populace, and that's a lot if we even get that. But point is, they get nervous. They don't want 10% even. They even the marker goes up at 10 even. They start panicking at 15. And they want to keep it below that. So what's Antiochus doing? Oh, this is going to get infectious. If we don't go out there and get these guys, all the other nations are going to say there's another power in the world, and they're going to start going after Mattathias. And forthwith they went out towards them and made war against them on the Sabbath day. And here's where we're going to get it. Now we're going to pick this up next week, and we're going to get into where we refute these jurisdictional Pharisees that say, you always got to obey the letter of the law, and there's no such thing as exceptions to the law. And that has to do with the Sabbath day. So we'll pick that up next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.